Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, I'm just going to flow on from what Pastor Clive was saying about what we're going to do in these next 3 weeks, fasting from the media that we might feast on the Lord. There's no point in us just fasting from the media unless we use that time creatively. Our purpose in life is to see the fulfillment of what Jesus told us to pray. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, in praying those words, we have to begin with ourselves. It would be hypocritical to pray that for others and not to be praying it over our own lives, that the kingdom of God will continue to come in greater power in our own lives, that the will of God will be done in us, in order that we might see more of the will of God being released in the world around us. We want to see more and more people come into the kingdom and delivered from the sin and darkness and oppression in their lives and brought into the glorious liberty that Jesus has won for us. In his great psalm of repentance, David says this: "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you." Now that's a very important scripture. It was not only important for David then, but these are the eternal words of God that are important for us now. And what they demonstrate is that what goes on in our lives affects our ability to impact the lives of others with the gospel. That if we are living in the joy of our salvation, then we will be able to teach others the ways of the Lord and actually be used by God to bring them into his kingdom. Now, to rejoice in your salvation is much more than just being thankful that you've been saved. If anybody says to you, you know, have you received salvation? You would say, yes, thank God, I am saved by his grace. But that's not living in the joy of your salvation. If you're living in the joy of your salvation, you are rejoicing every day in your salvation. The joy of the Lord is overflowing in your life. You are rejoicing always. You're rejoicing and giving thanks in all circumstances because of the way that that saving grace of God is impacting your life every day. And what David is saying is, Lord, I just don't want to know simply that you are my salvation, but I want to rejoice in the saved life that you have given me. The great revivalist Finney said that unless people are rejoicing in their salvation, there can be no revival. That one of the marks of a people that are living in revival is that they're living in the joy of their salvation. Now, David said something else that's also very important for us in the beginning of Psalm 27. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." The Lord actually is our salvation. But here there's this connection between light and salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Light and salvation. What's their connection? I've been watching some documentaries about the universe, the size of the universe, the immensity of the creation that God has brought into being. Scientists disagree and don't know how it all began, but we do. God simply said, "Let there be light." And what scientists have now acknowledged is that light is the creative power or force that exists in the universe. That light is not just light as we understand it, it is power. Now, light travels at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. And ever since God spoke that word, "Let there be light," the universe has been expanding. It is now so immense as to be really unmeasurable. It would take billions of years to get from where we are now to the edge of the universe. And it's still expanding. Why? Because God will never revoke his word. So ever since he first spoke that word, the universe has been expanding at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. Amazing, isn't it? The scientists now recognize, and with all their new telescopes and so on, they're discovering more and more about the universe, that there are as many stars and planets in all the galaxies that exist, and there are thousands, if not millions, of galaxies. The Milky Way is just one of those. But there are more planets and stars in existence than there are grains of sand on every seashore on Earth. We talk about, you know, reaching the moon and getting some probe to discover what Mars is like. Well, now, even in reaching Mars, if you think of the size of the universe, as far as we can understand it, being the size of the world, we have got that far compared to the other side of the world. That just probing this little bit of the world in which, or the creation in which we live, is so infinitesimally small compared with the whole size of creation. Now, why should this be important to us? Because it demonstrates the power of the light that God spoke. It demonstrates how big our God is, because our God is bigger than all he has made. If it was possible for us to, I mean, it would take billions of years, right, for us to be able to travel to the far extent of the universe, and of course it keeps extending, expanding. But even if it was possible for us to do that, God would still be present with us. Where can we go in this vast universe that he has created from his presence? Nowhere. He is just so immense. He is not creation, but he has brought the whole of creation into being. Now, that word that went out from the mouth of God to bring about this creation was Jesus. And that same Jesus became man. And as we go through John's Gospel, you'll see the first chapter, which you'll use tomorrow. He is described as the light of life. That light that brought all life, that brought all creation into being, became a man. The greatness of God humbled himself and accepted the weakness of our humanity in order for us to know the greatness of our God. Now, how great is your God? How great do you think of God, of who he is? He is so great, actually, there's no single way of describing who he is. Even God himself, when he revealed his greatness to Moses, said, I am who I am. There's no words that can actually describe my greatness. I mean, he is the Lord, the Almighty One, the All-Powerful One, but how do we understand what that almightiness is? It says nothing is impossible for him. And yet, it's so easy for us to think of God as being just a little bit bigger than us, a little bit greater than us, someone in whom we can trust, because he'll never fail us, even if people fail us. A sort of an extension of our humanity, but a bit bigger and better than we are. Well, God isn't like that at all. God is spirit. That's why those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. He is so immense. He is so great. When he speaks, he can never retract what he has said, which is why Jesus says that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. So whatever he has ever said is as true today as when he first said it. Now, we ought to be able to understand this much because, you see, when you have spoken something, you can't retract what you've said. You might regret some of the things you've said. You might excuse yourself and say, forgive me for something I said. But once you've said it, you've said it. It is now part of your history. That's what you said. Well, it's the same with God in the sense that what he has spoken, he has spoken. And those words are spirit and life. Those are the words that are a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. They are the words of light. Those words bring the life of God into the lives of his people. So, what does the scripture say? He sent forth his word and healed them. Why? God only has to speak, and there's your healing. But he has already spoken. He's already spoken the words of healing. So we don't have to wait for him to speak a word of healing, but to take what he has said. He's already sent forth his word for my healing, for your healing. And he will not revoke his word. He cannot change his word. These are eternal words, eternal truths. So his life, his healing, his provision, whatever, is in the words that he has spoken. It is only for us to believe that. That's why Jesus says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. Why? Because God has already spoken it. So often we're asking God to do something as if he hasn't already done it, or to say something as if he hasn't already said it. Any believers in the room? Yes. Now, if God is so immense, how can we live in the immensity of who he is in a real way that is not only going to impact our lives, but impact the lives of others, that they will come to salvation? Because you see, what Jesus said to the disciples at the Last Supper is, "Live in me." Now, when he said that, he wasn't talking about living in him and his humanity. His humanity was just about to finish, and he was about to be crucified, raised from the dead, and returned to the glory of heaven. He was talking to them about what would happen when he returned to heaven and the Spirit would come upon them. Then he is saying, "I will not be with you, but something even more wonderful is going to happen. You will be able to live in me, and I in you." So we live in what theologians would call the cosmic Christ, the Christ who fills the whole of what he has created. We live in the greatness of God. John says in his first letter that anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, he lives in God and God in him. So this is the immense miracle that God has done in your life already. That you live in the immensity of who God is, and this immense God lives in you. And because he is personal, every truth about his person is therefore in you, and you in him, so long as you believe that Jesus is the Christ. This doesn't make you part of God. That's heresy. But it's to say that you live in God and he in you. Now, all this began, of course, when God spoke over your life. He said, "Let light shine out of darkness." He brought you out of the darkness of sin, oppression, belonging to Satan, and into the kingdom of light. As Paul says, that when you first believe, he delivered you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And when God created, and he looked at what he had created, when he'd spoken those words of light, and he looked at it and said, "That's good," the very next thing he did was to separate the light from the darkness. And you see, when God entered your life, what happened? You were born again. How were you born again? Because the light of his truth entered into your heart and your spirit. And that light separated you from the darkness of your former life. And now you become a child of light, called to walk in the light and to live at one with the light and to have fellowship with the light, that is to share in the life of God. And in God, he is light, and in him is there is no darkness at all. So, if you are born again of the Spirit, you are born again of God, because the light of the truth has come into your life. You believe the truth. And as Paul says, you were incorporated in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which is your guarantee of the life that is to come. You became a new creation, no longer belonging to the darkness of the world, but a child of light. So the Lord is now your light and your salvation. The darkness has no part in your life and no hold over your life. The prince of darkness has no power or control over you except that which you give him. And of course, there's no sense in giving him any opportunity. Give no opportunity to the devil. Amen? So the Lord is my light and my salvation. David also says in the Psalms, send me your light and truth to lead me. Bring me to your holy mountain and into your presence. You see, it's that light that takes us from where we are and leads us into the places where God wants us to be. Living in him and he in us. Pastor Clive just quoted from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he cause his face to shine his light upon us. God wants us living in that light all the time, walking in the light, as he is in the light, the scripture says. And this is the light of his glory. We are living really in the light of his glory every day of our lives. And his purpose is for us to radiate that light, for us to shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That is the good works of the God who lives in us, that he is doing through us. And so then give glory to our Father in heaven. See, our light can only shine before others in as much as we're filled with that light and are living in that light and walking in that light. And John, in his first epistle, talks about how believers are called to live in the light together, to walk in the light. That if you're walking in the light and others are walking in the light, that makes us one together in the light. And what Jesus said is, Father, may they be one. Then the world will know that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. In other words, if we walk in the light together, the world will know, because there will be so much light going out from us as a body of people that it will impact the darkness all around us. Far more than can happen just through the light coming out of an individual. Amen? You know, you put a whole lot of beams of light together and you've got something that's infinitely more powerful. You think of, you know, in the football stadiums when we see matches being played by floodlight, what creates that floodlight? A whole lot of lights on together. Enables anybody to walk in that light or to be impacted by that light. This is the kind of vision God has for his church. Cause your face to shine your light upon us, and we shall be saved. The people who know how to praise you with a joyful shout are blessed, Lord. They walk in the light of your presence. The revelation of your words gives light and even provides understanding for the simple. So we're all included. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, we read, come, people of God, let us walk together in the Lord's light. And of course, over Christmas, we've been celebrating the fact that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Now, just as it's possible to know that we're saved and to be thankful that we're saved, but not really to be living in the joy of our salvation, so that we're overflowing with joy and we can't keep quiet about Jesus and we want everybody around us to be impacted with the salvation of Jesus. So it's also possible for us to know about God as we read the Word every day. We can discover more and more of who He is and read about Him and believe what we read. But what God intends is for us to be living in the greatness of who He is. And the greatness of who He is to be living in us. So there must be ways in which we can be helped to do that. So that we don't just know about God, but that day by day we're living in His greatness. Now, I'm going to help you to see one way in which you can do this. Because in a few moments we're going to pray together. And I'm not going to talk much longer, because what we're going to do in the next 10 minutes is probably worth 100 sermons. In the sermons, you can hear about God and about what we need to do. But when you encounter Him, His light, His life, His truth actually comes into us, impacts us, heals us, transforms us, changes us from one degree of glory to another. And that's far more effective than just listening to sermons. Sermons are good because they open up for us the understanding of what it is that God wants to impart to us. But there's no point in hearing what He wants to impart unless we receive what He wants to impart. And you see, it's not selfish to spend time every day receiving from the Lord, because the more you receive from Him, the more of Him will be evidenced in your life. The more of His life will flow out of you. You know, another thing David said is that in Psalm 23, for His cup to be full. You want your cup to be full, don't you? Another way in which revival has been described by the revivalists is the overflowing life. Living with your cup that's overflowing, because you're so full, you've got something to impart all day, every day. And it's not that you just sort of consciously have to do that. It happens because you're so full to overflowing. Light pours out of you, even in what you say in conversation. You find yourself saying things to people, not knowing why you're saying them, but actually in those words, God is giving you what to say to impart light. And that light will impart life and will bring about transformation in the lives of other people. Understand that the power is in the words, and whether God speaks it directly or whether He uses your mouth, the power is in the words. And the world isn't waiting for your opinions, praise God. It will never be changed by your own thoughts, but His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And His way is so much greater than our ways. And the wonderful thing about the Word of God is that we can speak His words, His thoughts over our lives, and over the lives of other people. So we're going to spend just the next few minutes receiving from the greatness of our God And you can spend a few minutes like this every day, as I have done for many, many years. And I only have to sit down to do this, and immediately I'm in the presence of God. And I believe if you devote yourself to doing this just for a few minutes as part of your prayer time, there's all kinds of other ways in which I pray, but as part of your prayer time, just receive of His greatness. Why? Because you're living in His greatness, and He wants His greatness living in you. Why do so many Christians trip up and fail and stumble? Because they stop living in His greatness and realizing, therefore, His greatness is in them. If they trusted in His greatness, then they wouldn't fall, would they? Hello? Yeah. And it isn't that we judge people for that, because God is the great one who restores. Hallelujah. Those words that David was talking was spoken out of a time when he had failed, fallen into grave sin, but God restored him. And he wanted to be restored to the joy of his salvation in order that he would live in the greatness of who God is. Once again. And what a privilege that God has called us, chosen us, to live in the greatness of who He is and have the greatness of who He is living in us. So, here I have a chair, just like you have. And if we're going to receive, the best way to receive is when you're sitting, actually. And to be relaxed, but not slouching and slovenly. So, if you just sort of sit like I'm sitting now, both your feet on the ground, and sitting sort of upright, don't drop your head or you fall asleep. But actually, this is the most relaxed, your body is in the most relaxed position like this. There's no tension in the spine and so on. But this isn't a device, it's just making sure that we don't have to focus on the body, we can focus completely on the Spirit, on the Lord. Just close your eyes, just relax your hands on your knees, your lap. And God is going to speak His word now to you. I am who I am. Abide in me, and I in you. Live in me, and I in you. I am the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You live in me, and I in you. I am your salvation. You live in me, and I in you. I am the light of life. You live in me, and I in you. I am the Word of life. You live in me, and I in you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you live in me, and I in you. I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep know my voice and follow me. And you live in me, and I in you. I am the bread of life, the bread that came down from heaven. And you live in me, and I in you. I am the Lord who heals you, and you live in me, and I live in you. I am the Lord who provides, and you live in me, and I in you. I am the Lord, your righteousness. You live in me, and I in you. I am the Lord, your holiness. You live in me, and I in you. I am the Lord, your victory. And you live in me, and I live in you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. And you live in me, and I in you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you live in me, and I in you. I am your Father. And you live in me, and I in you. I am your Savior. And you live in me, and I in you. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So you live in that love. And that love lives in you. Lord, I thank you for all that you are, for the amazing grace and mercy that you have shown me. so that I can live day by day in you. And day by day you will live in me. I thank you that you will never take your presence from me. And I thank you that no one and no one else or anything else can ever separate me from your love or from your presence. That I can live in you and you in me every day and for all eternity. And Lord, as I fast from media, from other things that I've looked to for pleasure or delight, that I will make more space, more time, more room for you. That I will enter more fully into this glorious truth that I live in you and you in me. That I will delight myself more fully in you and not in other things. And I thank you that you will then grant the desires of my heart according to the promise of your word. Lord, I thank you that you gave this command and this invitation to go on living day by day in you and you in me on the night that you were betrayed. I thank you that then you took the bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to your disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, do this to remember me." And likewise, after supper, you took the cup. When you'd given thanks, you gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood, shed for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord, that as I receive these gifts, I literally receive your body into my body and all the virtue of your blood into my life, helping me to understand that not only do I live in you, but you live in me and daily want to impart more of yourself to me. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you. Now we're going to continue in the stillness of his presence as we receive. this morning, there are different ways in which we can share it together in communion, but this morning, don't pray for one another. Focus on the gift, not on the prayer of someone else, but focus on the gift. Focus on what Jesus is saying to you and imparting to you. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. And know that you receive his life and all the virtue of his blood as you receive these gifts to heal you, to provide for you, to meet whatever need it is that you have in your life, to supply whatever grace and anointing you need at this time, to fulfill whatever he's asking of you. So just ask the service to come forward and start to pass the gifts around. But just keep your focus on Jesus. His body given for you. His life given for you. And not only given for you, but given to you. All the power of his light is coming into your life this morning as you receive these gifts. That whatever, if there is anything of darkness, of sin or sickness or whatever, it's overcome by the power of his light, of his life, of his gift. Believe that. He holds nothing back from you. No matter how great and wonderful he is, he gives himself the fullness of his life. The scripture says, he gives to you the fullness of who he is. The light of life. He is the Lord, your victory. That light brings victory over darkness. The darkness cannot stand the light. That light delivers you, sets you free from any bondage to darkness. Now, at this moment, you are a child of light, called to walk in the light. And as you receive, so give yourself afresh to him, especially for these coming days of encounter, because in these next 4 days, no doubt every evening will be different, but every time will be an encounter with him. More of who he is will impact your life, will become part of you. That's wonderful. That's his will. That's his purpose. Don't deny him the opportunity to give to you in the ways that he wants to. devote this time of fasting and feasting. It sounds contradictory, doesn't it? But it isn't. We fast from other things that we've looked to for pleasure in order to delight in the Lord and to give more space and time to feast on Him. And as we do that, He will restore the joy of our salvation. And you'll find much more joy in the Lord than in the television or any kind of social media. So just give yourself to Him. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you have planned, the good things that you have planned for me this week, the good things that you have waiting for me to receive day by day as I come here with my brothers and sisters in Christ to meet with you. Thank you, Lord, that you have already prepared those good things that you want to impart to me. And even if not all of you are able to be here at 6 o'clock in the morning, you can, in your own home at 6 o'clock, pray as we prayed this morning. And start the day in the immensity of who God is. And in the revelation that the immensity of who He is lives in you, so that whatever you need day by day, you have in Him. And it's not just a theory in your head, but you've actually spent time letting Him impart that life to you, so that you live the whole of the day in the good of that that you have received from Him. It's no use just knowing it's a good thing to do these things. It only works if you do them. It only takes 5-10 minutes, that's all, to receive as we've received this morning. And as you break bread in your homes together, day by day through this time, know that Jesus chose this as a way of helping the disciples to know that everything, the immensity of who He is and what He's accomplished, is given to us and imparted to us through the gifts of His body and blood. So just begin to thank the Lord now. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish in these coming 3 weeks, especially. That this church is going to be like a floodlight in Horsham and 25-mile radius and beyond. Thank you, Lord, that the implications of what you work in us are going to touch the lives of many, many others, that we will be able to teach sinners your ways, transgressors your ways, and see sinners brought into your kingdom because of what we allow you to do in us. Thank you, Lord, that that is going to impact the lives of so many other people. We don't even have to try to wonder how it will happen. We just know it will happen because it's your word, and you will not revoke your word, and your word is perfect. Your word is eternal. And we thank you that as you restore us to joy of our salvation and give us that willing spirit to serve you, to love you, to obey you, to be the people you want us to be, so then we will see this harvest of souls coming into your kingdom and more lives in which you will be glorified and you will be honored and you will be praised. And we give you all the glory, all the honor. Oh, hallelujah. Let's all just stand and speak out our praises to God. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord. Praise your holy and wonderful name. Thank you that you are the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and nothing is impossible for you. Thank you, Lord, that we're living in the immensity of who you are, and you are living in us. Thank you, Lord, that because we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we live in God and God lives in us. It's your word that you have declared, and you will not revoke your word. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We bless your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us mouths, and that if we open our mouth wide, you will fill it with your word, and your words will go forth, and the light will go forth from us, and your power will be in that light. Your life will be in that light, and we shall spread that light. We shall spread that life. We shall spread that power in your name and for your glory. And we give you all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Come on, let's really thank the Lord. Oh, we bless you. We praise your wonderful name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And all God's people shouted, Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.